This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about Thai salads again.
Thai salads. Thai salads 2.
When was Thai salads 1?
Thai salads 1 was in 2011.
Oh my God. There are just times when I'm reminded of exactly how old this show is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's we're getting up on our 100th year, right? What are we going to do for our centennial?
Well, you know, my knee and I just marked our centennial. My knee recently reminded me how old I am. Can I tell you about my boring orthopedic issues?
Oh, yeah. Are you going to get it replaced?
Well, no. I had like random, just like a swollen knee.
Sure. That sounds like a thing that would happen to
like
a grown person.
A swollen knee, but with no pain and no injury. And I think I had some sort of a viral infection in my knee.
Are you sure you're not just getting swole?
I am starting to get ripped for summer. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so important. We all are.
Yeah. Anyway, my knee just decided to remind me that I'm you know, officially middle-aged, but it has subsided now. I'm happy
to report. Oh,
that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get it looked at?
I did. Our longtime family doctor is a good friend, and she happened to come by to meet the baby, and I otherwise would not have been able to get in to see her for a long time.
Sure.
And she checked out my knee and was like, this is a true medical mystery.
Did she just for a moment when you said, and while you're here, can you check out my swollen knee? Did she make a face like, oh, fuck you?
I did feel bad about it because literally every time I see her, I'm like, can you just check out my thing? Can you check out this other thing?
I don't know. Like, I imagine probably some doctors kind of get a kick out of that. I'm sure it's annoying, always annoying sometimes, but
I don't remember anybody doing it with my dad, but I guess it's because my dad was a cancer doctor. So you don't really want him to ever have to check you out.
That's right. Yeah. Like, do not look at this thing I have.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Anyway, but so just like the show, my knee is really old.
Okay.
And it's my knee is almost ready to do kneecap too.
Yeah. Let's just do a tour of like all the things about me that are old. Like, I had this conversation recently with wife of the show, Lori, where we always like, you know, on and off, like let each other know, like you know, I'll still think you're just as good looking when you're old and wrinkly, and like realizing like, I'll say, wait a minute, like we're wrinkly in a lot of places now. This is not like a future thing. This is a now thing.
Oh. Have you guys gotten into doing a skincare regimen together? That could be romantic.
That's a good idea. Like, we've talked about this before that, like, I'm not, this is a great episode so far.
Right? I love this episode already.
People, like, listeners have learned so much about Thai salads.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've never really gotten into a skincare routine of any kind. I do have this moisturizing lotion that I use when my skin gets really dry and flaky in winter, which it does sometimes. Called Neutrogena Hydro Boost.
Oh, cool.
And so I make up all these little songs about Hydro Boost.
My God, that's delightful. You know, I don't really have a skincare regimen either. I mean, I have a cleanser I've used and a drugstore moisturizer I use.
Sure.
But my skincare secret is the dermatologist. Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What's her secret?
The dermatologist.
dermatologist.
Okay, so that was memory lane.
That was memory lane. So yeah, why are we doing Thai salads again?
Let me tell you, it's because friend of the show, Pai Lin, of the Hot Thai Kitchen YouTube channel, has a new book out called Sabai, which is not just about Thai salads. It is like a, kind of weeknight Thai cooking book that covers like the full range of Thai cuisine. But wow, did the salads chapter jump out at us as like, we want to make all of these things.
You know, I can testify to this. Matthew has regularly been texting me ever since he got, I think, a galley of Pai Lin's book. Mm-hmm. Matthew has been texting me like, made another Thai salad. It was great. But he's
not bringing me any. Yeah, and I haven't brought you any of them.
No.
Like, it was a real you can't have any moment.
It was terrible.
Like, you've been living our listeners' nightmare.
I have. So Matthew, hold on. We should also say that, I'm really happy to have Pai Lin on the show again, actually. We've had her on
before.
Oh yeah,
this is her third time.
Because Pai Lin is excellent. And plus, Pai Lin just knows way much more about this.
Way much, yeah.
Than we do. We were young and stupid in 2011, thinking we could do this episode without someone
like
Pai Lin.
And now we're old
like
and wrinkly with plump lips, but still stupid.
That's right. And so we've got Pai Lin here to help us. She's going to join us here in a second. So Matthew, what's your update on Thai salads since 2011 in terms of like memory lane?
Oh, I still love them. Yeah, like I've made four Thai salads since they sent me Pai Lin's new book, which was not very long ago. Including I improvised one and I was so proud of myself.
Oh, that's fantastic. I will admit that I have not been making many Thai salads lately.
You have no excuse.
I truly have no excuse except that technically, as we're recording this episode, I'm still on parental leave.
Yeah.
Which means I don't have to make any food I don't want to.
It also means I have a terrible boss.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that the next time you decide to bring me and my family dinner on the meal train, that you bring me a Thai salad.
Okay.
So Matthew, what Thai salads did we talk about in 2011? Did we talk about like green papaya salad, green mango salad?
About a beef salad, like a yum nua, a som tam green papaya salad, and lob.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Which I think are kind of like the big three Thai salads that you would have heard of if you've been to a Thai American restaurant or a Thai restaurant outside Thailand. Mm-hmm. As we will see, like the world of Thai salads within Thailand is much, much broader than that, as you might expect.
Great. And Matthew, how do you find that these salads, at least the ones that you've been making from Pai Lin's new book, how do they work in terms of like the produce that's available in Seattle in the wintertime? Have you had any trouble with that?
We should for sure talk to Pai Lin about this because she's in Vancouver, BC. So has access to the same produce as us pretty much.
Great.
They work really, really well. Like, you know, I did like a cabbage salad that she talks about in the book, how like her mom used to make it when she couldn't get green papaya in Canada. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. I made the one that I improvised. It was just like a real like fridge clean out. I had like half an English cucumber. I had some romaine lettuce and some steak. And made one of the dressings from the book and tossed it together and made some toasted rice powder and like tossed that all together. I'm going to repeat this again because I want Pai Lin to be proud of me for improvising a Thai salad.
Okay, great.
How about you? Like, you know, do you still like Thai salads or have you turned on them?
Oh, no, I still like Thai salads. In fact, each photo you've sent me of your Thai salad
has made you more and more angry.
It's made me feel more and more left out and sad.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's welcome on Pai Lin.
We are delighted to have once again friend of the show, Pai Lin Chong Chidnant, whose new book, Sabai, 100 Simple Thai Recipes for Any Day of the Week, is out March 14th. Pre-order it anywhere you get books right now. Pai Lin, welcome back to Spilled Milk.
Thank you for having me. Always happy to be here.
We are delighted. Okay. So we're talking, this is actually our second Thai salads episode. We did one back in 2011.
It was a grave error.
Yeah. Like, I know. Like, I've been doing penance ever since.
Is this book only salad recipes? Why are we talking about Thai salads today?
This book is not only salad recipes by a long shot. It is a full service kind of weekday Thai cooking book that covers all aspects of Thai cuisine. But wow, did I immediately jump on this salad chapter because there's so much good stuff in it. Like, I wanted to make every recipe, and I've made three of them so far.
Oh, you did? What did you make?
So I made the Chinese sausage salad.
Oh,
yeah.
That was one recipe that when I wrote that, I was like, no one's going to make this.
Well,
you have proven me wrong.
You got one weirdo. Okay, we wrote a bunch of questions, but let's just go off script immediately. Like, is that a salad that people eat in Thailand? Is that something that you invented?
No, this is a salad that's very common in Thailand.
Okay.
It's very basic. And the reason why I said I didn't think anyone would make it, because it just seems so weird, you know? Like, I didn't think like a non-Thai person coming across that they'd be like, I would like to try that. Because it's like Chinese sausage is not something people envision in a salad.
Yes, you're right.
And so, as I mentioned, I think in the head note, this is something we often eat with rice porridge.
Okay,
because
right.
Because if you've made the salad, you know that it's got lots of strong flavors. It's tart, it's sweet, it's salty, it's chewy. There's so much texture. And so it really needs sort of like a luscious carb dish like plain rice porridge to go with it. And it's a very common breakfast item in Thailand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I had it with jasmine rice, mm-hmm. And then had it again for breakfast the next day, and it was great.
Matthew, what other salads have you made from the book?
Okay, I've made the pounded cabbage slaw, which I don't even remember what we ate it with because it was so much the main event because it's so good.
Oh, great.
And the warm mama noodle salad. That was like a main dish.
You found mama. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was making tons of mama jokes while cooking.
Yeah. No, those are all really great dishes that you picked. Have you ever had Thai green papaya salad before?
Yes.
So did the slaw. Was that reminiscent of that?
Yeah, it really was. Tell us, like, how do you pronounce, like, the name of the green papaya salad in Thai?
The green papaya salad
is
called som tam.
Okay.
Yeah. So som tam, and the word tam means to pound in a mortar and pestle. And so we have so many different kinds of tam, and you can make a tam out of basically anything. But cabbage is a really great one because it's widely available. And we always need reasons to use up cabbage, don't we all?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's crunchy and neutral enough to be such a perfect pairing with this dressing.
Yeah.
Well, so I want to backtrack a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. What is it that you think of as constituting, like, what's a Thai salad? And is there like a single word for salad in Thai? Or is this a concept that, you know, that like we're bringing to these dishes and lumping them together?
So there's no word in Thai that would directly translate to salad.
Okay.
So this idea of tossing ingredients together with a dressing, there's no one word for that.
Okay.
But we have categories of dishes that would be considered a salad in the Western sense.
Okay.
Right? But like the word salad in the West is so open-ended, right? You can make it, you can make anything with any dressing and it's a salad. But if you were to put Thai ingredients randomly together and not following any of these sort of existing categories, we would not know what to call it.
Right.
Like there would be no word for that thing that you've just made.
Okay. So what are the categories? We talked about tam.
Yeah. So tam is a category. So it's a pounded salad. It's always made in a mortar and pestle. And then the basic one is yum. So yum, you probably, if you go to a Thai restaurant, there's definitely a yum something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yum is the most generic salad. You can make it out of anything, but the dressing is always fish sauce, lime juice, sugar, and chilies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's usually protein-centric. We usually make yum with meat or eggs or something like that. And then there's lap, also very popular, which, by the way, I'd like to say, it is not larb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I've been guilty of this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
And it started out with the English speakers with British accents saying lap, and it's fine.
Okay.
But when Americans start using that same spelling, they pronounce the R, and it becomes larb, which is totally wrong. Okay. So I've been trying to preach that it's L-A-A-B, so that regardless of what accent you have, you are going to say it correctly.
Okay.
Okay.
So Lap is another kind of salad that is usually made with ground meat. And it's very specific. The dressing is very specific, but the key ingredient in there is toasted rice powder. Mm-hmm. So you toast up some raw rice until it's nice and brown and then grind it up. And that is like the identity of lap.
Okay. Can I tell you about the Franken salad that I improvised after making those three recipes? We had like a bunch of stuff left. So I made a salad with, it was kind of the dressing from the pounded cabbage slaw, but with hazelnuts instead of peanuts. Romaine lettuce, English cucumber, steak, and toasted rice powder.
That sounds like it would be delicious.
Oh, it was incredibly good. Yeah, but it was sort of like a lob yum hybrid.
Oh, yeah. That does sound like it.
Is this one of those dishes that like has no word?
Yeah, that would be
As soon as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I did this.
Okay. That's the random salad with no name.
Okay. All right. Okay.
One thing I was wondering is whether a Thai salad always involves lime juice or are there some... Okay.
Always. 100% of the time. Sometimes it's lime juice in combination with tamarind, but there's never any vinegar, as one might expect. We don't use vinegar hardly at all in Thai cuisine. Once in a while, we'll use white vinegar here and there, but generally, no.
To what degree do these salads vary regionally?
Quite a bit. The yum, the generic type of salad, yum, that's all over the country. We eat, everybody eats that. But lap, for example, is a northeastern salad. Mm-hmm. So that's where it came from. So Laos, they have their own version of lap as well. They would probably argue that it is originally Laotian.
Sure.
However, it's spread all over the country now that anywhere you are, you can find a lap. So it's not... It had regional origins, but now most salads are available all over the country.
Sure. Okay. Now, you have a recipe in the book for leftover anything lob, which, so I'm wondering, like, how...
Hey, that's your Franken salad.
it is kind of my Franken salad. So, I already did this, apparently, but, like, how do I lob anything I've got, and, like, which leftovers really work best?
So, the concept of leftover anything lob came from my realization that lap is consistent with the exception of the protein, right? Whatever kind of lap you make, it's the same ingredients. It's fish sauce, lime juice, chilies, toasted rice powder, and a bunch of herbs. And people make lap with all sorts of things. And I wonder, well, what if I make lap with leftover things?
Yeah.
And it turns out it works incredibly well, especially like bland roasted things like rotisserie chicken, like the inside of a rotisserie chicken that doesn't have any flavor.
Yep.
Or like leftover bits of roast beef or steak or whatever happens to be, and it's stale. And if you reheat, it's definitely overcooked now. That gets shredded up, and the strong flavors of a lap dressing will like make you forget about whatever flaws it would have had.
So I feel like the thing that makes it a lob, one of the things that makes it a lob dressing, like in addition to the rice powder, is like it doesn't have sugar.
No.
Right? Like, so like many Thai salad dressings have like palm sugar pounded in, but lob does not.
Yeah. And that's definitely a sign that it is a northeastern salad, because in the northeast, they don't eat food with much sugar.
Okay.
And so lap doesn't have a lot of sugar, which also makes it important to make sure that you have enough toasted rice powder in there to sort of mellow out the acid and the fish sauce. If you don't have enough, it'll be very sharp. It'll be too sharp.
Sure.
Almost.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Some people like to add a little bit of sugar just because, like, you know.
It's just
because
sugar is good.
Just because sugar is good, and it does help balance out all those sharp edges, so you don't have to worry so much about getting everything right. But it's, you know, theoretically wrong if food can be wrong. But I try not to, because you know what? We add sugar to almost everything, so why not just skip this for once?
I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about the book sort of as a whole, because, you know, we're just focused on salads today, but the book is so much more than that. So will you talk a little bit more about the concept behind this book and maybe what you're most proud of in terms of the recipes in it?
Yeah. So the title is Sabai, which is my favorite Thai word. It's like, if you go to Thailand, you'll hear people say it. It's the idea of being at ease and relaxed and carefree, and you can refer to your body being sabai, your mind being sabai, your just everything is sabai.
I hope to experience this feeling someday.
When you retire and yeah, move to Thailand, you exactly. will feel sabai. So my first book, when I wrote that, it was a little bit hardcore. I was like, I had all this knowledge I wanted to share. I wanted to like make it like textbooky about Thai food. And I included all these recipes that use all sorts of weird ingredients, but I didn't care because it was all about like establishing what Thai food is all about. And then I became a mom. And then suddenly I had never appreciated the value of just simple, quick recipes that are just hard to screw up,
yep.
you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I was thinking about a second book, I was like, you know what? I don't have that for people. It's not like if you go onto my website, it's not clear which recipe is simple and straightforward. You kind of have to go through them and look. I wanted like a book where you grab this off the shelf. Everything in there is going to be pretty simple to do.
Yeah.
So I wanted like a resource for people to be able to turn to on a weeknight. And that's sort of the idea behind Sabai.
Or even if you have a new baby in the house.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Excellent.
That's definitely like, I found like, you know, that all of the recipes that I've made from the book so far were just like so easy to jump into. Because I make, you know, we had you on to talk Pad Thai mm-hmm. years ago. And like, I still make that recipe all the time and is one of my favorite things to make. But it's a bit of a production.
And you know, it's interesting. I did include a Pad Thai in this book as well because I feel like I had to.
Yeah.
But it was what I call minimalist Pad Thai. It's like I'm taking out everything that I don't think is necessary, but this is what's left. So if you want to make a Pad Thai that's still good, but like as fuss-free as possible, this is it. Like taking out any more, it's going to start to mess with it.
I'm imagining you visualizing like this like white person trying to return the book at Barnes & Noble saying, there's no Pad Thai recipe in this Thai cookbook.
You know what? That is definitely something I think yeah. about.
It would happen. You're right.
Yeah. Or like no green curry.
Right.
And they'd be like, what kind of a Thai cookbook is this?
So I made that warm mama noodle salad. Mm-hmm. It was great. It's like a yamunsen, but yes. with like, you know, instant ramen noodles instead mm-hmm. of glass noodles. In the head note, you say like, it is so important to get the actual Thai mama brand noodles. Like what is special about these noodles?
The flavor and the texture is not like any other brand of instant ramen mm-hmm. noodles. So if you substitute, it's a completely different dish. And the problem is, I think mama noodles are, the noodles themselves have quite a bit of seasoning in them. Mm-hmm. So they're not bland in and of themselves. So if you substitute it with another brand that doesn't season their noodles to the same extent, the salad is going to end up being a little bit not as flavorful as it's supposed to be. That is my main concern with this, is why I thought it was so important, is it's the seasoning level that's in the noodles.
Yep. Mm. They had,
and you can eat mama raw. You can like crush it up and just eat it like snack. They're that good.
I mean, you can do that with any instant ramen noodles, technically. Ask
some
me
of them
how
won't
I know.
Some of them won't taste as good.
True.
Matthew, I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Did you have any trouble finding those noodles here in Seattle?
I got them just at the Safeway down the street from me.
Oh, my God. Okay, perfect.
You know, in the Asian foods aisle.
Okay,
in great. The international.
Right, aisle. Exactly. Yes, which is also the Hispanic foods aisle.
Yeah, mama is surprisingly available. Even at non-Asian stores.
Yeah, no, I was pleased. Like, they have a really good selection of instant noodles at Safeway. Like, they have the mama, they have, like, the Korean, like, shin spicy, gourmet spicy. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pailin, is there anything else you would like to plug here on Spilled Milk today?
Aside from my book, my YouTube channel.
Of course.
If you want to watch Thai food being made rather than read about Thai food being made, you can go to my YouTube channel. It's Pailin's Kitchen, or my website, hotthaikitchen.com. That's where all the recipes are as well.
Terrific.
Pailin, thanks so much for being on the show again.
Oh, you're welcome. This was fun.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
So I think we kind of covered it, Thai salad-wise, yeah.
I think so, too. I think we should move on to Spilled Mail.
All right. I've got 2 pieces of Spilled Mail here. We want to each read one
Whoa.
Of them.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. I'll begin. Here we have an update from listener Susan, who referred to perfectly prepared eggs as pea night or for
pea
night.
Yeah, we asked if you had themed dinner nights.
Oh, and then there was perfectly prepared eggs.
Yeah, they said they had pea night, which was like dishes starting with pea.
Love this. Okay, Susan says, thanks for the shout out on the show. I played it for the girls and they were impressed that they are now famous, having been mentioned on a podcast. Ah. Hi, girls. To answer the question, perfectly prepared eggs were usually scrambled and very soft. Add-ins might include pizza sauce or salsa, but usually they were plain. I love that.
I think salsa and eggs sounds great to me, and I've done that. The idea of putting pizza sauce in eggs seems so wild.
I remember once I feel like I saw in some cookbook or something that like I could poach eggs in like marinara sauce or something and okay. like eat it over garlic bread or whatever. But I just, the sauce that I used was my regular tomato sauce, which I like to be quite bright. And it was weird. Like you couldn't even like taste the poached eggs. So I'm curious about putting tomato sauce or pizza sauce in the eggs. I don't know how, I don't know. Can't picture.
Yeah, I mean, I probably will try it. These are things I always have on hand.
Well, excellent. Listener Susan. Oh, also, I have to say that I really like that the eggs are scrambled soft.
Yeah, me too.
I like that a lot. All right. Thank you, listener Susan.
Now, listener Andrea writes, listener since the beginning, fried eggs? I was recently in Vietnam and ate I can't believe someone's been listening to our show since episode 1. Can you?
Bless you, listener Andrea. Yeah.
I was recently in Vietnam and ate lots of amazing regional food. However, one evening we were in a craft beer pub and ordered pizza for a change. It was so piping hot that on my first bite, I burned my lip on a hot piece of ham, which, because of the melted cheese, adhered for a horrible moment before I shrieked and knocked it off. The hot ham injury looked like a cold sore and was pretty painful. The pizza was very good. I wonder if you've ever received an incongruous food-related injury. Thank you for the joyful podcast and Happy New Year to you both, Andrea.
Oh my God, Andrea, first of all, my condolences. That sounds so painful. Oh my God, the ham adhering to your lip for a minute. Oh.
I mean, woo. Yeah. Okay, Molly, do you have any food-related injuries of note? I have 2.
I don't think I have any of note, but I will say, and I think I've said this on the show before, but it bears restating, which is that I find myself so disproportionately bummed out when I burn my tongue on something.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I feel like, well, there goes my life for 2 days.
Exactly.
Great.
Yep.
Like now I'm not going to be able to enjoy anything.
Yeah, but that's more of a congruous food-related injury, I think.
Okay. Yeah, no, I've never like burned myself on hot ham pizza in Vietnam, for instance.
Yeah, no, I mean, one of mine, like just, I'm just mentioning because it happened the other day and because I'm an idiot, like I decided that it would be a good idea to like pour, even though I have like no depth perception, to hold a mug in one hand and pour boiling water from the tea kettle with the other hand and just poured boiling water all over my hand.
Oh no.
Luckily it was a first degree burn, so not too bad. It did peel off after a couple of days and was very itchy and gross. So, but I survived that.
Did you drop the cup?
I dropped everything. So the best part of the story is that wife of the show, Lori, does phone tech support is her job. And she was on a call with a customer when in the background, I like poured boiling water on my head and screamed, fuck! And like threw everything. and she said very calmly to the customer, we just have a small problem over here.
Oh my God, Watsel, cool as a cucumber.
Yeah. So anyway, it was fine. Now, like I have a rule to myself that I will try and keep, which is put the mug down before pouring the water. But the one that I wanted to mention that listener Andrea made me think of, which I'm sure I've told on the show before, but not recently, is that once when I was a kid, probably like 12, I was making popcorn in the air popper.
Oh, God.
Remember how,
I heard about this.
Yeah, remember how everyone had an air popper in the 80s? Uh-huh. Okay. So this was the 80s, and I was popping popcorn in the air popper, and I couldn't find the little plastic butter dish that goes on the top. And I was like, well, I don't want melted butter on my popcorn anyway. That's probably not important. So I'll just leave it off. And the problem is when popcorn gets hot, it tends to pop. So deadly hot unpopped kernels started flying out of the top of the air popper. And one of them landed between my bare toes.
I'm still trying to figure out, like, were you just like standing around with your toes splayed?
Yes, as we all do. I was walking away from the air popper, like to get a glass of water or something.
And
like
for your life,
this evil kernel, like I didn't even know there was going to be a problem yet. This kernel like flew out halfway across the kitchen and landed between my toes. It hurt so much. And I got the most ridiculous, like U-shaped blister between my toes. I'm glad I can laugh about it now because it didn't seem funny at the time.
When you told this story on a different episode, I'm trying to remember.
Probably five other episodes.
I'm trying to remember if I told the story about the time I stepped on a dead, shriveled caterpillar in our kitchen.
My
spouse. My spouse has a lot of empathy for living things.
And you do not.
Well, but so Ash and June were like, this was like three years ago, maybe. Ash and June were like doing something outside in the springtime, and they found a caterpillar, and they decided that like he needed to be brought inside.
Oh boy.
For like monitoring or something. And so they put him in like
monitoring. Did they put like a little Pulse monitor? They decided
what he needed was human intervention.
Sure, of course.
And so they put him in an aluminum mixing bowl with some like dirt and some leaves and stuff like that. And then like a couple days later, he went missing.
Sure.
And we all just figured he was like buried under the soil or something. But I was in the kitchen early one morning.
Oh, boy.
And stepped and felt something. And I mentioned this because it was between my toes. Like, I didn't squish him. Like, he literally went in, like, the crevice between my toes and where my toes attached.
But he was already expired at that point.
He was expired. And he had the consistency of, like, a shriveling water balloon.
Oh, God.
And I screamed so loud.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was angry, too. So once I was done with my regular, like, scream of surprise, then I threw in, like, a scream of anger.
With my arms
straight at my sides. Uh-huh. I was like, what were you thinking? Like, God! Anyway, we still talk about my added angry scream.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Recently, like actually literally yesterday, I had like a minor moral quandary because wife of the show, Lori, said, I feel bad for our apartment manager because she's been on vacation. And when she gets back, she's going to have to deal with the fact that there is a huge dead rat in the middle of the parking garage. And I, for just a second, I was like, I could be like the local hero who deals with this dead rat problem before the manager gets back. And then I was like, well, I don't want to do that. And I'm not going to get credit for it because no one will know I did it.
Oh my God. Matthew, I think one morning in the last year, I got a text from my mom, like early, first thing. I don't know what my mom had been out doing, but she lives a block from us and she had driven past our house and she saw something on the ground by the mailbox and she came closer and it was a dead cat. I'm so sorry. I know you're a cat man.
I'm a cat man. Yes.
It was a dead cat, just like lying peacefully next to the mailbox.
Abby, can we put a content warning at the top of this episode, please? Seriously.
And anyway, my mom was like, I don't want June to like accidentally see it when you leave the house to take them to school. Anyway, so we had to go out and move the cat.
Okay, fine. You guilted me into it. I'm going to deal with this fucking dead rat.
Yeah, deal with the dead rat, man.
I can't let you be such... I already know you're a better person than me, but like just like maybe like one or two levels. I can't let you be like three levels better than me.
Okay, great. All right, well, there we go. I cleared up your moral quandary.
Thanks.
Matthew, do you have a now but wow?
I do. It is from friend of the show, Florentina Liao, a.k.a. Listener Flory, who has her first book is out now. It's called How Kyoto Breaks Your Heart, and it's a memoir slash essay collection of like beautiful essays about life in Japan and friendship. It's like, you know, a lot of the book is about breaking up with a friend. Which, you know, there are millions of books about romantic breakups, but very few books about friend breakups, which can be even more devastating. And like, you know, this book like treats that like in a really like a really real way. But it's also it's about food. It's about persimmon tree. It's about leading guided tours in Japan and about the joy of mediocre coffee in comforting surroundings. So that's How Kyoto Breaks Your Heart by Florentina Liao. And the best way to order it is from Book Depository, which has, because it's from a small publisher in the UK, but it's free shipping worldwide. I highly recommend this book. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Ah, congratulations, Listener Flory.
Yeah. And I, guess what, like, by the time you hear this episode, she mentioned to me, like, I'm having a book event in Meguro, Tokyo, just in case you're going to be in the neighborhood. We're going to be in the neighborhood.
Incredible. Yeah, Matthew, by the time you hear this episode, Matthew will be in Tokyo for the first time since the pandemic began.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not jealous at all.
That's right.
Nope. I am. I'm extremely jealous.
Yeah, I mean, you'll just have to, like, get the good feeling of being a better person than me, I guess.
Okay. Good. That'll last a little longer than a trip to Tokyo anyway.
Exactly.
All right. Well, our producer is Abby Circatella, who pretty much every time she edits an episode from us gets that good feeling of being a better person than we are.
That's true. Yeah. Molly has a newsletter. Is your newsletter back?
My newsletter is back. It was on hiatus for parental leave. And I have to say, in all honesty, that I wish I'd given myself a little more time.
Sure.
But it's back.
Now you can make your baby write it.
Now I can make my baby write it. Although I have to say that, God, did you ever watch the... when Timothy Chalamet was on Saturday Night Live, he did a skit called Tiny Horse.
I think you told me to watch this and I did. Yes.
Okay. Well, our baby is an extremely noisy baby and he makes so many sounds that sound like a tiny horse whinnying.
Yeah. I've met this baby a couple times and he makes the best baby noises. So great.
I can't wait to transcribe his tiny horse sounds and use them as a newsletter entry. No, but for real, I work hard on my newsletter and you can find it at mollyweisenberg.substack.com. And it's called I've Got a Feeling. It's back.
Yep. The single from my band, Early to the Airport, Cornerstones, is out now on all the streaming platforms. I think we already like forced you to listen to it by putting it in a previous episode. I am just hearing now that the whole EP, six songs, will be out in March, which is sooner than I expected. And it probably won't be available by the time you hear this, but soon, and I'll bug you about it again. I'm really proud of how it came out.
Oh my gosh, please bug us all. And don't worry, listeners, we will let you know as soon as the whole EP is available.
Yes.
You can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can hang out with other people who listen at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com. It's just a positive community of people who listen to Spilled Milk and eat foods.
Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, where we're salve for your hot ham burns.
You say we're sad for your hot ham burns?
No, we're a salve.
How do you say that word?
I don't know. I always try to say it really fast before nobody notices I've done it.
I would say salve, but I don't. And then when it came out of my mouth, yeah.
We're a salve for all the hot ham burns your ears might ever receive.
Yeah. If you've been putting hot ham in your ears, you're one of our listeners.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
So welcome to Thai Salads 2, where we are telling you all our secrets about serums and lip plumping.
Oh, wow. Do you do something for lip plumping?
No, I mean, have you seen these lips? I have my grandfather Eli's lips, and I can barely enunciate around them. They're so big.
Because they're so plump, naturally plump?
They're a bit of a liability.
That is like the definition of a humble brag right there. Like,
yeah, but if you look at pictures of my grandfather Eli, like, it was not a humble brag for him. That dude's lips were like falling off his face. It looked a little weird. So anyway, no, I don't do any lip plumping. What about you, Matthew? I notice a little bit of...
I don't do any lip plumping. I recently did what I call the KN95 compliant beard.
Oh.
Usually I've got like a full beard, but I went back to like Van Dyke so I could fit a mask over it for traveling.
Ah, cool.
And I think it looks really dumb.
How much of this do you think Abby is going to allow in the actual episode?
She's probably going to edit it down to like a 1 10-second outtake.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great.
Of just you talking about like lips falling off your grandfather's face.
That's uncle. Right.
Yeah.
Grandfather.
This episode is brought to you by Town Place Suites by Marriott.
Whether you're traveling for work, need a place to stay while your home is being remodeled, or maybe you're just enjoying a relaxing week away, well, Town Place Suites by Marriott has all the comforts of home.
Yeah, so they've got a full kitchen. They've got, you can borrow appliances, like if you want a blender or a slow cooker while you're traveling, you can borrow it, no charge.
Uh-huh, so like you could invite your friends or your coworkers over for like a post-meeting drink.
You can bring your pet. Totally allowed.
Oh, I love this. Oh, I see. They even have special pet items you can use.
And they have the built-in Elfa closet system. Nothing makes me happier when I am traveling and I have like a place to put away my clothes. Mm-hmm. Molly has seen what happens when I don't have a place to put away my clothes. Nobody wants to see
Nobody.
Yeah. So like a whole closet system where I can really like unpack for reals. I am down.
Well, this is made for you then. And this is Town Place Suites by Marriott.
Town Place Suites by Marriott has all the amenities you need to feel at home during your stay.
Find the comforts of home at Town Place Suites. Go there with Marriott Bonvoy.